since what is now known as the Internet had been in the works since the early 1960s, when Gore was still a college student, Gore was obviously exaggerating. The candidate who claimed he created the Internet quickly became the butt of jokes from cartoonists and late-night talk show hosts. Yet there was some truth to Gore's Internet claim. As a senator in 1988, he had introduced legislation to support a high-speed national computer network. Robert Kahn and Vinton Cerf, who designed the basic architecture and core protocols for the Internet, later wrote, "Al Gore was the first political leader to recognize the importance of the Internet and to promote and support its development." So although Gore would have been prudent to describe his role more modestly, his boast was not entirely without merit. Darwinists boast too. But if nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of Darwinian evolution, how did it happen that most major biological disciplines were founded either before Darwin or by scientists who rejected his theory? Why do Darwinists claim that their hypothesis is indispensable for agriculture when it was Darwin who needed farmers, not farmers who needed Darwin? How do Darwinists get away with claiming credit for Mendelian genetics when Mendel doubted their theory and they ignored his work for decades? In what way is Darwinism indispensable to medicine when the modern decline in infectious diseases resulted from public health measures and scientific disciplines that owe nothing to Darwin's theory? Maybe it's time for late-night talk show hosts to compare the way Darwinists take credit for biomedical science to the way Al Gore took credit for creating the Internet. Except that the comparison would be unfair. After all, Gore actually did have something to do with creating the Internet. What's Darwin got to do with it? I recently asked more than 70 eminent researchers if they would have done their work differently if they had thought Darwin's theory was wrong. The responses were all the same: no. I also examined the outstanding biodiscoveries of the past century: the discovery of the double helix, the characterization of the ribosome, the mapping of genomes, research on medications and drug reactions, improvements in food production and sanitation, the development of new surgeries, and others. I even queried biologists working in areas where one would expect the Darwinian paradigm to have most benefited research, such as the emergence of resistance to antibiotics and pesticides. Here, as elsewhere, I found that Darwin's theory had provided no discernible guidance, but was brought in after the breakthroughs as an interesting narrative gloss. National Academy of Sciences member Philip S. Skell, The Scientist, August 2005. A book you're not supposed to read. Getting the Facts Straight: A Viewer's Guide to PBS's Evolution. Seattle, Washington, Discovery Institute Press, 2001.